speak for yourself. Oh. If you have your Bible, well, let's first of all, anything that needs to claim our attention, remember Wednesday night will be our business meeting, so please keep that in mind. Anything else that needs to claim our attention that you know of? Anything that needs to claim our attention? If not, then unless we'll move into our scripture, I'm going to be looking tonight in the book of John, the 6th chapter. Our Sunday school lesson this morning kind of introduced my message tonight. As Jesus spoke the first I am in the book of John, when he said, I am the bread of life. The I is very significant and emphatic. I and I alone is the term out of the Greek text. And also the bread that he spoke of, I am the bread, meaning that there it is the sustenance for eternal life, not physical life, but eternal life. And tonight as we come around the table of the Lord, we need to understand and realize this is exactly a fulfillment of what Jesus said this morning in the Sunday school lesson. As Brother Ibe talked this morning about the blood covenant there with Mephibosheth, and as we see the analogy that's drawn from Mephibosheth to the table tonight, because Mephibosheth was promised that he would be around or sit around the king's table continually for the rest of his life. And the promise that David made, he fulfilled. And the thing about it is, the promise that we come around the Lord's table tonight is a fulfillment of what transpired and took place at the cross, where Jesus made possible for us to be an heir to the kingdom, just as Mephibosheth was an heir to David's, as David had those to wait on and wait for him. There are several terms there. The term Mephibosheth means destroying shame is what his name meant. Makar means wrong dwelling or wrong household, and that's exactly where he was from. He was from the wrong dwelling, wrong household. So are we, if you look at it very closely. Ziba, the one who had the 15 sons and 20 servants, was the one who looked after Mephibosheth in land that David gave him. And his term means plantation or strength. The term Lodibar, Brother Ibe brought up, means wrong food and no pasture. And that's exactly the way we were. We're without anything. We're without substance. And the term Amiel is son of Makar. That means a devoted ally. And of course, we know that he was, because he looked after and helped Mephibosheth in his plight as being crippled. And that's exactly the way we are. We come before God crippled and cannot take care of ourselves. And here we come tonight to thank God for what he's made possible for us. So in our text, Jesus makes a claim about himself that leads to a major controversy. When I say a major controversy, it is, because the controversy comes as a result of the spiritual blindness. And listen to me very close. Usually when there's a controversy in Scripture, it's because of spiritual blindness on some person's part. And this is what it was with the religious leaders. So as the truth is expressed and explained, Jesus shows the consequences of unbelief. Question by G. Campbell Morgan several years ago was this: how can a man, Jesus, impart his own humanity to another person so that other men shall assimilate it and find the life of that humanity demonstrated in his own? And the answer to that is, it is in his flesh. Who he is, his divine nature, his nature, and his blood, which speaks of his death, and it summarizes the very life and the utopia, or the finished product of his life, as he gave his blood for you and me. Unless, listen to me, unless you enter into experience that comes by the way of the shedding of the blood, you have no life at all within yourself. No life at all. The song says, I must needs go home by the way of the cross, for there's no other way but this. I must never lose sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. And we know that it's by the way of the cross. So as we see what transpires here, Jesus Christ presents himself as the spiritual food for the famished soul. And also, he urges the people to appropriate him personally by faith. That's what it's all about, is it not? Is responding, appropriating him by faith. Note what he said, how it was taken, and also his response. As we look at the scripture, would you stand for the reading of God's word? John 6, starting in verse 47. I want to read through verse 59. I know it's a long scripture, but let's look at it together. John 6, 47, he says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath past action with future and present and future results, hath everlasting life." Then in verse 40 says, "I am that bread of life," that bread of life. "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I give him is my life, my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among them, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." And there's the controversy. Then verse 54 says, "Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that blood which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness or in the manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things saith he in the synagogues as he taught in Capernaum." Let's pray together. Father, we bow tonight to give you thanks for the privilege of worship, for the awesome privilege to come around your table tonight and commemorate what we call the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper. We come to share in this communion service because that's what it's all about. It's communing with you and each other in what you've accomplished for us by giving your life as a ransom for our sin. And we come, Lord, tonight to celebrate and commemorate that which you accomplished for us, and that is life. Life, eternal life. And Father, we ask tonight that you'd just open our hearts to understand your word. May the Holy Spirit of God speak to us as never before, and may we come to know and come to leave this place, Lord, with a new excitement and enthusiasm to serve you in a greater capacity. Lord, we come tonight in remembrance of those as well, asking you to bless as only you can. You know the many that's on our prayer list and those that even were added tonight, the families that's lost loved one. Lord, we just pray for Miss Irene's family. We pray for the Lee family, Preacher Lee's wife. Lord, with our family there, we just pray you'll be with them. And we ask, Lord, that you'd help us always to realize that in and through the circumstances of life, that you are still in control. And Father, we have those that's on our prayer list that are going through the difficult and trying times of life. Would you minister through the power of your Spirit the things that is right and good and redemptive to them? And even now, Lord, as an act of faith, we're going to thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. You know each one, and you know the problem they're going through. You know the ones that wait on them and minister and encourage them. Lord, we pray that you'd be with them as well. Help us as we look at your word. Speak to our hearts as only you can, is our prayer in Jesus' strong and powerful and saving name, and for his glory and sake. Amen and amen. Life only imparted through the bread of life. That sounds like a contradiction. Boy, I feel honored to sit in the stool. See Dr. Stanley, that's what he does. But I went to the doctor Friday, And he asked me who had took a claw hammer and wrecked my left knee now. So I'm here anyhow. But what we want to look at tonight is the scripture and what Jesus was relating about life and what life is all about. We know this morning in Sunday school lesson that they misunderstood him because, see, they eat of those 5,000 men, let alone the women and children, eat of those bread and the fish that Jesus multiplied, and they were filled by that. And then Jesus saw an opportunity to leave, and they left and went across the lake. And then the next morning, we know the people there, they wondered where Jesus had went, and they went where he was, and they were ready to eat again. But Jesus wanted them to understand that there was a misunderstanding about the principle and what he was teaching, because he was not teaching that he's someone who come as the Messiah according to Isaiah's prophecy just to satisfy their physical need. We have so many people today, that's exactly what they're seeking in and through life and what life is all about. Even they come to church to find and to seek and to fulfill a physical need within their life. But here Jesus is going much deeper than that, because he's going to a need that is there for every man, woman, boy, and girl. And he's the only one that can fulfill and really satisfy the need. I pointed out this morning to our class that it is said of America that we are the most overfed and undernourished society in all the world, meaning that we get by and live on junk food, stuff that does not nourish us, but we eat it to satisfy the hunger and not really to satisfy the deep need of the nourishment that we have. And Jesus is talking about this from a spiritual standpoint, because this is what he's wanting them to understand, that he come for the purpose, as he said, I am the bread of life. He's introducing this, I am the bread of life. And Jesus is talking about bread that gives us, or the sustenance that gives us real life. In other words, not just physical life, but spiritual life. And of course, we know that that's what Jesus came for, is to give those spiritual life so that they could understand and know what it's all about. He says, and this is, we need to understand this, is first of all, the claim that Jesus made. In verses 48 through 51, if we look close, we see the promise. And in this promise, there's three needs. Only through him a person can know and have forgiveness. Only through him can a person be restored into a right relationship with God. Only through him can a person come to know and experience eternal life. So here, as we look at this, the promise Jesus is trying to relate that's going to be fulfilled in and through him are those things that he takes care of. But there's something else. We need to note also five parallels and truths that we can look at there. And Jesus points them out. First of all, why do you eat? Why do you eat physically? Huh? You starved to death. You didn't eat, didn't you? So food, first of all, for food is useless unless it's eaten, right? I mean, we could set the biggest tables, put all the kind of food on it there is, and bring all the hungry people in here. And if they did not eat of that, then they would leave hungry. I remember after I accepted the call to the ministry and I quit my business of construction, before I moved to Norman Park, I started working with Publix Market, man that was in another church. He got me, said I could work with him until we moved. And so I worked as a troubleshooter, maintenance man, and we was working in a store down in Miami. And we was there working in the back. I don't remember. We was taking up some tile. That's what it was, because somebody had poured all the dough down in the sink, and it stopped up the drain. We had to take the tile up and dig all that tile up and then put some dough down and fix it. But in the process of doing that, I saw this man outside digging in the garbage can, and I said, sir, can I help you? He says, I'm just getting something to eat. And I said, well, they got plenty of bread here, and they're gonna do away with it, send it back to wherever it goes and throw it away. He says, oh, I don't eat man-made stuff. And I thought to myself, my goodness, if he's starving to death, what difference does it make? But that's the way it is. See, it's useless unless it's eating the food. What are we talking about? But the second thing, eating is prompted by what? What is it prompted by? If we look very close, it's prompted by hunger. That's why we eat. Did you know that? It's because it's prompted by hunger. Do you know why you go to bed at night? Huh? The reason you go to bed at night is because the bed don't come to you. That's neither here nor there. But that's usually the reason we go. If it come to us, we'd stay right where we are. So here's the eating is prompted by hunger. In other words, when we get hungry, we try to eat. The third thing is food people eat, it becomes part of them. Becomes part of them. In other words, they become what they eat. You've heard that old saying, you are what you eat. And this is part of it, because this is what Jesus is talking about here. But then there's a fourth thing, and that fourth thing, eating involves trust. In other words, we eat the food and we trust that food to satisfy or pacify our hunger. In other words, for it to do that, what we have to do is we have to internalize it or take it within ourselves. And it's the same way with believing and trusting Him. It's one thing to know about Him and even to know Him and who His name is, but unless you partake of Him, becomes a part of your being, then He is no good whatsoever. And another thing, eating is something that is personal. In other words, it makes no difference how hungry Carl get. I can eat all I want for him, and it'll do him nary bit, not one bit of good. So it's something that is personal, something that we understand is personal. We need to realize also that when you look at this, it's personal, satisfies us when we understand that we partake of it. I went to the doctor Friday, as I said a while ago, in Jessup, and me and Tim went to Aunt Susie's, used to be. It's called, what is it called now? Jones's Kitchen, yeah. And so we got in there, sitting there and eating. We got there at the right time, because after we got our plate and sat down there, I mean, the line grew long, real long. We didn't even go back for seconds, even though we wanted to. But anyhow, after we got through, started out, there's these four people coming in the door, and I opened the door, and they're coming in. I says, I don't feel like y'all need one thing. That man says, you might not, but I do. So the thing about it is eating is something personal. It's for everyone. And if we look at this passage, we can see is we need to not forget the price as well, the price involved. See, the scripture says he gave himself sacrificially for sinners. He gave his flesh, his life. The second thing is that this price, the price of redemption, which brings about reconciliation between God and man. See, that's what happened when Jesus gave his life. He reconciled man back to God and God to man, between the sinful man and the holy, righteous God. It's possible only as we trust him. That's what Peter said. Turn to 1 Peter 3:18 just a moment. Look what he said there. I believe it's 1 Peter 3:18. James, Peter, John. 1 Peter 3:18. He says, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. So we see that here Peter is relating what transpired and took place as we were redeemed or brought to Jesus Christ. The second thing we need to note as we move on is we need to note the controversy that followed. This is found in verse 52. When we read that, I told you that. It says, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Now, if we read this scripture and what it's saying, we would think that's exactly what Jesus told me. He's talking about cannibalism, but that's not what he's talking about. He's not using that from that standpoint. He's using a physical illustration to drive home a spiritual point and a spiritual truth. As stated, the Jews were blinded by the ignorance of their own unbelief, because when Jesus shared with them, he was the bread of life, symbolizing for spiritual life, eternal life, They missed the point and they were thinking about physical life again. So here we see that this is where the Roman Catholic Church appeals to the passage as proof text for their doctrine of transubstantiation, which means that literally when they come around the Lord's table, or they call it Eucharist, when they come around that, the priest waves this, whatever he waves, and literally the blood became, the wine becomes the blood, and the bread becomes the body of Jesus Christ. And of course, we know that's not what Jesus is talking about here. So what is he saying? Unless you eat my body and you drink my blood, you cannot or will not have eternal life. Jesus is teaching, and his teaching is this, that man who appropriates him by faith, listen to me, they appropriate him by faith, then they come to know what it is to have the bread of life. I can take the most delicious apple, and I can give it to you, but it is no good to you until you appropriate it and put it into your body. And that's what it is Jesus is talking about here, spiritually speaking, where we come to him and we invite him into the confines of our life, spiritually speaking. He's not talking about physical. He's talking about spiritual speaking. So the Roman Catholic Church misses the whole thing, and this is their text they use for their belief or their doctrine. But Jesus is literally saying for us to know and to understand and to have spiritual life, there's no other way to have that other than coming to him, inviting him into the confines of life as the bread of life. I am the bread of life. That's what Jesus said. For the sustenance for living, I'm talking about not just life, but living, Jesus and Jesus alone is that bread. Jesus draws it out of them when they were in the wilderness. He says, your fathers did eat manna, and they picked it up every day, except on Saturday. They gathered 2 days' supply on Friday. But they had to eat it on Saturday because they had a need every day. And what Jesus is saying is he draws the parallel of that. He is, listen to me, he is the fulfillment of our spiritual sustenance every day of our life. Every day of our life. He's the one that can satisfy and does satisfy. That's what the lesson was about this morning. Contentment, having contentment or being content is when we come to know him as the bread of life. The third thing as we move along. Now he culminates with the consequences, verse 53 through 59. Verse 53, he uses the aorist verb, not the present tense, because here he suggests one-time appropriation of Christ in salvation as the bread of life. One time, he and he alone. It means also not a continual eating and drinking of the blood in the body, or the bread in the body, bread in the blood. Notice there are some bold truths we need to look at. First of all, verse 53 points out a negative. Well, look what he says there. He says, you have no life in you. What is Jesus saying? You have, verse 53, and Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink the blood, you have no life in you. So, apart from Jesus Christ, he says, you have no life in you. I have no life in me apart from him. But then there's also something else, the positive side of it. In verse 54 it says, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath, there's that term, hath past action with present and future is, hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last days. Raise him up. See, this is the believer's great hope. Look in verse 40. He talked about raising him up there. He said in verse 40, he said he will give everlasting life and I'll raise them up in the last days. Look also in verse 44. No man comes to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. And then he said that in verse 54, has eternal life and I will raise him up. The believer's great hope is Jesus gives eternal life And one day he's going to make that life a reality when he raises us up out of this old physical body, out of the ground, and then we will be with the Lord forever and forever. The promise, if I look at it, we understand it close in verses 56 through 59, is union with him. Union with Christ. Look what he says. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, as I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Look at 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and were dead. He that eateth of this bread, partaketh of me, shall live forever. Verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. What is Jesus saying for us tonight? Well, Paul sums it up in Colossians. Turn there just a moment. Yeah, I got it up there. Colossians 1, I believe it's 27. As he sums it up for the church at Colossae. Colossians 1, 27, he says this. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is, listen to this, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that settles the issue as far as what Jesus is saying. It's Christ in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Tonight, as we come around the table, we come around the table to celebrate, to remember, to commemorate our blessed Lord and what he accomplished for us. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, I don't know hearts here tonight, but you do. You know exactly where we live. You know exactly what we're going through. You know all about us, Lord. And we come to you tonight asking that if there's one here that's never known you or come to know you as the bread of life, that, Lord, before they leave this place tonight, they do and will. We know, Lord, as we look at your word and study your word, that you made possible for everyone this bread of life, to satisfy the spiritual longing that only comes through knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Father, I pray tonight that you just have your will and way accomplished in each and every heart and life. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God spoke to your heart about coming to know the bread of life. Would you do that tonight before we observe the Lord's Supper? As we stand together.